As the tip time, 12 o'clock pregame right here on ESPN New Orleans. And again, Pels, Jordan, if you want to go over it once again quickly, real simple. Half game out of ninth right now, right?
Yes. So right now the Pels are 2.5 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies. The Spurs and Blazers are 2 games behind, and the Kings are 3 games behind Memphis.
Remember, though, with Portland, can't have the same record with them.
Which sucks. It really does suck.
It's no filter there, my friend.
No, it sucks.
Now, I'm with you. Look, they played one more game and got one more win. The Pels and Kings would have played that Wednesday, and and the season would have shut down after that game that evening. The Pels didn't want to play it, and the league didn't want to play it, so it didn't happen. But last night, Pels did get the win, 109-99 Zion. On was this a do or die game, and the feeling after it?
It wasn't. I can't answer that for my other teammates personally, but for myself, it's my exes the other day. I want to win every game. Every game for me is like do or die. That's why I say my competitive spirit. You know, it bothers me when I can't go in the game in the fourth quarter and help my team win. So for my teammates, I'm not sure, but for myself, every game is like a do or die for me because I want to win.
And also,
again, one of the things that I took out of that game was just the way you could just see it, right? His demeanor, his body language, his aggressiveness, decisiveness. He was finishing that game, Jordan, when he got put back in there with 3 and some change. Zion on finally playing some meaningful minutes there at the end.
It felt great to do that. My competitive spirit was turned on. And, I was just happy the training staff and my team trusted me to be able to close the game out.
Okay, so he went from 15 to 25. He was asked, did he know that that's what was going to be his minutes that game?
I usually know before the game. So when they took me out, I knew I was going back in.
In that fourth quarter. Remember, he started the fourth, only had 3 points, Jordan. Got a bit of a breather and came out and looked like the Zion we had seen towards the end. I know. I felt he got stronger as the game went on. At least towards the end.
I think when he did sit on the bench for that first time in the fourth quarter, you could see on his face he was PO'd because he wanted to stay out there because he knew it was going to come down to crunch time. But, no, I guess knowing that he was going back into the game, mm-hmm. he gave it all that he could because I guarantee you he's been hearing what people have been saying about him, and that was just added fuel to the fire last night for Zion.
You've heard him say it several times. He's a competitor. Hooper, right? It's got to bother you. It's got to frustrate you. I mean, I mentioned it Friday on the show when you saw the close-up of the TV cameras on him in that Utah game as time is ticking and the Pels are trailing. And he's like, I mean, you just saw the face. It was really to watch this and you can't do anything about it when you probably think you can. It probably was very annoying. He was asked, does he have to fight with the medical staff, but kind of like go a little back and forth with them?
I wouldn't really call it a fight. It's just one of those, they've been doing this for a long time. This is my first year, and I'm trying to learn the game and learn the ropes. So my mom taught me, take all the knowledge that I can get.
All right, so that was him being able to play. As for the game itself, you did see it, Jordan. He missed a couple of shots early, and Coach Gentry said that's going to come, and I think the better shape he gets, the more bounce. John DeShazer, who joined us at 12:15, mentioned towards the end of the game that the bounce started to come back, right? I mean, you saw the alley-oops and all of that, and you started to see that. But Zion himself has been saying it, that it's like he can't even get sweaty, and then and that horns for him. He's like, and then you gotta,
the rhythm is completely gone after
right,
that because then you have to wait a whole quarter.
So Zion said from the get-go, opening tip, he was. He was aggressive in that first quarter.
It was a little bit of both from myself and from the coaching staff. They just told me to try to give the team a spark, and that's what I was trying to do, just get my team a spark, getting going.
I wish you gave us a spark, Jordan. Sometimes you do. You give us a spark. You come in here, Most of the time I got it's a half-full glass, Jordan, not a half-empty glass. You had a spark today, though. You were happy today.
I'm still happy.
Rested, off of a win, you're good.
And my Nashville Predators are up against the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah,
Coyotes.
You're watching the NHL playoffs right here. Zion on the energy of the team perhaps got off of that play?
I felt the live part. That's just my competitive spirit. You know, I'm not even gonna lie to you. It's different in a bad way when I'm on the bench in the fourth quarter and there's nothing I can do to help my team win. So I say I felt the love. It was just great to be out there doing whatever I can to help my team win. And as for the energy part, you know, me and my teammates, we just feed off each other.
Poor kid. I feel for him because he's like, yes, you're letting me play. I can finally play the fourth.
Poor Zion.
Be honest. How many?
How many what?
Give me a percentage of Pelican fans when he drove down the baseline there, tuned some change and put it in off the glass and gave the Pels a nice lead there late. How many Pels fans you think went, why could he have done that on Thursday?
100%.
You think 100% of fans, really?
100%. I'll say this.
No, not 100. Look, there's still some that saw him a little slug. I mean, look, he looked a little sluggish yesterday in the first quarter.
Well, I think 100% of the fans that watch the Pelicans religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that.
I think there was an expletive or two that yeah. went with that as well. Where the bleep was that might have come out of somebody.
I'm sure Zion was thinking it himself.
Exactly. No, I know. That's what you're so nuts. To get the text that I've gotten in the last 5 days. Does he not want to play? No. Have you not heard anything from him?
The craziest.
Kid wants to play.
The craziest text.
Gentry should be fired for not wanting to play. You think it's Alvin? I mean, for people to legitimately think he doesn't want to play him. It's baffling to me that you would even remotely formulate that thought. Because at the end of the day, a coach wants to win and use the best players available and possible to him at all times. Out of shape or in shape, Zion's one of the best players on the team. To think that he purposely would not want to put him in there at the end. Because Twitter was going nuts that Thursday. Well, I can't believe he's not putting... I'm telling you, he was told not to.
All right, so the craziest text that I got over the weekend was, I can't believe he even said this.
Mm-hmm.
Zion's lost the passion to play
basketball.
He lost the passion to play basketball. Yes. He's not the same kind of player like he was at Duke.
Yeah.
I got that text from one of my buddies.
I got three or four.
He's lost.
Pels have quit on passion. Gentry. And I'm like, everyone needs to breathe. The Clippers are a substantially better team than you.
Well, not only that. I mean, they were just hit.
They had 25 threes.
It looked like it was a perfect storm. Everything went wrong and everything that had to go right for the Clippers went right.
What I said yesterday to Raphael was this, that you have the way you lost Thursday linger into your feelings when you watch the butt kicking you saw on Saturday. Right? I mean, you just do. Like, for example, you'll have a bad day, and let's just say within the last 24, 48 hours, you might have had a discussion, argument, fight, the loved one or parent in your case. It affects your mood, doesn't it? You probably snap a little quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just one doesn't have anything to do with the other. Two completely different games, two completely different teams. But I thought it just built. Zion on, did it put him at ease knowing that he was actually going to get a chance to close out the game?
You know, whether they tell me I'm going to play in the fourth or not, I guess if they don't tell me I'm going to play in the fourth, I just do what I can to, you know, close the game out while I'm out there. But it did help a little bit knowing that I was going to be able to close the game out.
Again, I mentioned it, him, Brandon Ingram, leading the way with 20-plus points, 24 and 23. I mean, that's solid right there, right? Had this to say on him and B.I., being able to click the way they have.
That was just one of those things where, you know, we're just two hoopers and we're just playing off each other. And, you know, coach is giving us the right guidance and putting us in the right positions to make plays.
Mm. How about Jrue Holiday, again, doing the job on Ja Morant? And you heard John DeShazer say he kind of thinks he possibly – could be in the head of Ja already early on in his career. That'd mean that Ja isn't good, and he's not going to be good, believe me. But Zion on Jrue's play.
Oh, man, that's respect. Like, it's, I can't do nothing but respect that. Like, you know, I watch him up there all game, you know, play great defense. And, you know, he does it his own way. Like, he gets steals that I think they bite him on that one, but he always seems to get it. And, you know, he gets our team going on defense. You know, he'll look at us and be like, yeah, we need to tighten up on defense. And then he'll make a play and it gets us going.
Okay, exactly. It was nice to see that yesterday, huh? I mean, Drew's just so good at it. I thought him and Lonzo had a couple of good steals in the paint in strip players that that look like they're going in for uncontested layups, don't you? Yesterday?
Well, yeah, we saw Lonzo kind of do that first game
yep.
against Utah when he really wasn't clicking from the perimeter. But, he's been doing that all throughout the bubble so far, him and Drew Holiday, and I think that's going to continue because that's just what those guys do. They're great defenders, two of the best, in my opinion, defenders in the league. So when you mix those two together, you're bound to get some steals.
De'Aaron Fox, 10 points as the Kings lead Dallas 37-27, 11-19 in a second. So still this quarter, the whole half to go. We are rooting for Dallas to get this win. Sacramento 0-2 in the bubble. Tonight, Rockets at the Blazers. Coming up next, you hear the music. Good job there, buddy. Because Touch of All, Timmy Grubbs will come on next. Talk about my first place Chicago Cubs. That's the only reason we have them on, Jordan. The only reason. How about your Braves? Ooh, they suffered a big injury. Big injury.
They did?
Yes. You don't even know. That's incredible. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
Eddery favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Hey, Nola, it's Jackson Hayes, and it's time to see how we won't bow down. You're listening to the flagship station for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back, too. Through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I talked to were at best confused by what the commissioner said because clearly the players are ones in peril right now, not to mention everyone who's at the ballpark every day. It's not just the players. We understand that. But it became more about the commissioner. I'm not a quitter. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where that came from and what he was trying to say. I know he was trying to say, we're going to try to bring this game through, which is great. But this can't be about him. It has to be the players and the people on the front line, the people who are actually risking things by going out and playing. So I think it should have been more about the game and less about himself. And that's what confused me a little bit also.
That's Tim Kurchin, Tim Grubbs, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. The way to follow him over on social media. He was not happy with the commissioner's, approach and how he's battling things. Another Cardinal, Molina, saying that he's another Cardinal to test positive. So you've had two teams essentially get hit really hard, Tim. First off, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I think the commissioner, he probably spoke out of turn there. That thing riled up the players. You know, he's sitting there going, the players need to, be better. I mean, the players are the ones that are, out there risking themselves.
Right.
You know, where the commissioner and the management sitting up above. So I think it's kind of one of those things he said. You know, you're a parent. You know what it's like to make a comment and realize afterwards, I should have probably dialed that one back a little bit.
Well,
because it probably was a little too harsh than it should have been.
And I get it to an extent. At the same time, I also understand where he's coming from, because for the most part, even Derek Jeter says, a lot of this, the outbreak blame, false sense of security. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, but Cespedes over there with the Mets says he opted out because he saw whether his teammates or other players in baseball not following protocol, not, whatever, I guess you can assume going out or not doing the things they need to do. But, if that's the case, maybe I guess that's where you're coming from, because that, again, Jeff Passan and even a couple of other baseball national writers and people that cover the game have said, look, players just aren't doing their part. They're not biding by the rules.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some of that. I think, some of the initial reports that the Marlins went out on the town in Atlanta, whether that's true or not, at least the initial...
Did they go get some wings, Tim? Is there any truth that they went to go get some wings?
The investigation is saying that those guys didn't go out. Like, these were guys going to other guys' rooms, and different things like that, which would still be, not being safe in these times.
Right.
But, it's definitely, it's strange times. And, and I hope a week from now we're on the air talking about, how everybody's back to playing. And at the Marlins and the Cardinals, and obviously because of the Marlins and Cardinals, this happening to them, it's kind of derailed the start of the season for the Phillies, who've only played four games. The Nationals have only played like six or seven games. So, you hope that these are just, little hiccups and that these guys can get back on track. And this is the type of thing that scares everybody straight, get everybody where they're like, okay, we cannot even go out to the hotel restaurant.
Right.
We just need to get it to go and go from there.
Yeah. And look, my Cubbies, we'll talk about them here in a little bit, but Anthony Rizzo, the first baseman, came out, and this was after a rain delay, which turned out to be a rainout at Cincinnati, said there was no plan for rain delays, that basically everybody just goes into the dugout and hangs out. And he's like, I thought we were supposed to be doing social distancing and all
that
stuff. Yeah,
it's probably, Rizzo tweeted that out about 30 minutes into a rain delay, and that thing got canceled like 20 minutes later. It's one of the few times that I think that, as a person who's been in the clubhouse and in the dugout when it's raining outside, and none of the play, once it's raining, once the game doesn't start on time, guys don't want to play. They want to have the night off. They want to go do their thing. But it might be one of the few times ever that something like that actually worked, and for good reason, because those clubhouses are not big enough and the dugouts aren't big enough, especially if it's raining outside. You can't be hanging out on the field. You're kind of stuck, and you're certainly not going to be, 6 feet apart from everyone.
One of the other elements that I wanted to touch on, too, is we were going to talk a lot about this, about injuries, but before we always go to the negative side of injuries, because that's what it is, right? It's an injury. A player is lost. A player that's been healthy is Aaron Judge. Five straight games at home runs this weekend, and just, man, he looks good,
He looks really good, and I don't know how many of the home runs you've seen, but a few of them have been upper deckers.
Titanic shots, exactly.
They're not just wall scrapers that are just getting out, and I tell you, That Yankees-Red Sox series, certainly you realize the difference in the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox 2020 when you watch the series and you're like, whoa, there's a drastic difference between these two teams now. Where 2 years ago, it probably was the other way around. But No, I mean, it's great that we're talking about that because I feel like everybody's talking Marlins, everybody's talking Cardinals, everybody's talking, all right, are we even going to finish the season? And now you get this really good story about a guy being off to one of the best starts in Major League Baseball history.
You're getting an up close and personal view of the Twins here. They have 8 wins on the season, 8-2, Yankees 8-1, and leading the Central there, playing your Buccos right now. Look, we just got done in a battle of the death with Pittsburgh, the Cubs did before playing KC. But should we be surprised by Minnesota? I guess not, right? I mean, they were a playoff team a year ago.
They were a playoff team a year ago. You know, I mean, 8-2 is 8-2. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, Cleveland's a really good team. They got off to a great start, but since then they've kind of derailed. They've lost 4 in a row and now they're 5-6. But I think we should be impressed by them. Minnesota's been a team that's made a run before and they seem like they're that team that always loses in the first round of the playoffs. So I think teams like Minnesota and Tampa, you shouldn't be surprised that they're good teams. Tampa's struggling at the moment. They've lost 5 in a row, but they're teams that even in this shortened season, if we get to the postseason, let's see what those guys can do then.
You know, you take a look at, I mentioned the Twins being 8-2 and the Yankees being 8-1. Is that a indication of how their divisions are? Because remember, you're basically playing your division and you look at the West in the AL, Oakland 6-4, Houston 5-4, Rangers 3-5, Seattle 4-7, Angels 3-7. They've had some opportunities to win games. They've blown them late. Joe Maddon's seen that before. So is the West tougher than the other two? Is that what we see?
I don't know. I don't really know what to think of it because they're all playing each other. You know, obviously the first two teams from each division are going to go, and then there's going to be two more teams. I think there's just, you know, teams get streaky in baseball and, you know, in COVID times or non-COVID times. And, you know, because if it's a shortened season, you know, you're seeing teams sweep teams. You're also seeing a differential in the schedule. I mean, the White Sox a week ago looked like they were off to a tough start. All of a sudden they went into Kansas City over the weekend and swept the last place Royals. And before you know it, the White Sox are looking pretty. You know what I mean? So I think this is kind of who you've played lately and how that team's playing. And I think, even though it's a shortened season, I think over the course of 2 months, it'll kind of figure it itself out. There'll be some oddities, I'm sure, but I think it'll at least make some sort of sense.
Over to the NL, Graf Dodgers in a battle over there, 7-4. Padres 7-4. We talked about this last Tuesday. If there was a team to kind of keep an eye on, Rockies 7-2, D-backs 3-7, and the Giants are 5-6. What do you make out of the West here?
Well, the Diamondbacks are the surprising team. At the beginning of the year, I would have picked the Dodgers to win the division. Keep in mind, they've already lost 4 games. You and I joked around that they might only lose like 9. We thought they would keep it to single digits. So they have lost a little bit. I thought Arizona was the second base team, the second best team. Hmm. And this might just be because of who they played early. San Diego has been a pleasant surprise. Colorado is 7-2. I didn't expect that. I didn't think that the Rockies would be all that good, especially since they had a couple of players opt out. So I think that is definitely one of the really good surprises 2 weeks into the season.
Talking Major League Baseball here for another 3-4 minutes with Tim Grubbs. Do so on Tuesday. That's why we call it Timmy Tuesday. At Mr. Tim Grubbs, way to follow on Twitter. All right, over to the NL East. Man, Atlanta, 7-4. They have a massive lead here. I mean, the Marlins, it's so weird to see them in second place. Because they're 2-1, because they haven't played any game. They're going to get back at it against the Orioles here, but it's nuts to see a team in second place because they're 2-1, and then there's the Nationals 3-4, and there are the Phillies 1-3 because they haven't played in some games. And they got the Mets that it's a disaster over there as it is, but the Braves, though, however, suffered a massive injury. You normally see Achilles injuries on the basketball court, very rarely see them in baseball, much less the starting ace, the pitcher, man, Soroka, covering first base.
Yeah, that was ugly to watch. You know, you don't see it too much in baseball, and he went down. He's definitely done for the season. I really haven't heard, you know, does this affect next season since it's already August? I don't know. I really haven't looked into it. But you take a look at the Atlanta Braves, the team that everybody, pretty most part, picked to win the National League East. Cole Hamels is on the injured list. You lose Soroka for the rest of the season. You know, Fulton Nevich, you know, had a bad start last week, and they designated him for assignment, which means he'll be gone. This is a team that's lost a lot of pitching. it'll be, they got some heavy hitters and it's a potent lineup, but this is a year in which, okay, you lose your top two starters or two out of three starters, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. You probably would go into the, you'd start looking to make trades. I really am interested. I read an article earlier. Are teams willing to trade? Because what happens if the season gets shut down a month from now or a week from now or, you know, whenever it happens and you traded away some major prospects for a rental and you weren't even able to complete the season? It's really going to be an oddity as we come up on the trade deadline at the end of this month if teams actually dive in and see if they can do that. Maybe a week or two from now, when if things calm down and we seem like we've gotten through this rough water, maybe they will feel better about it. But now all of a sudden, I think the Braves' odds of being able to win, I mean, they might be able to still qualify because of 16 teams being able to go to the playoffs. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of major injuries. Shohei Ohtani is not going to pitch. Strasburg's been down. Kershaw's back and looked great the other day, but he's already been sidelined. I think the pitching injuries now, not Mike Soroka, not the guy last night with Atlanta, because that's a fluke injury. I think a lot of it is the shortened spring training and these guys not.
I got another theory.
What you got?
Jordan, who did you pick this year?
As my team?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. And Tim, would you say this is unthinkable amount of bad luck?
the fact that Jordan picked them and now this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan did a text during one of those games with the Cubbies. They were up 8-1, 8-2 in the eighth inning.
He's been known to curse a few things.
Yes. I just wanted to say, I mean, I think it's only in baseball. Would you say the amount of injuries and things that have happened to Atlanta are very suspect to just, man, you know, did somebody walk under a ladder or cross a black cat?
It very likely could. In the sport of baseball, where we pay attention to that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, very much. Jordan jumped on the bandwagon, and
there you go.
What happened? There was four flat tires pretty quickly.
Wow. There you have it. The Cubbies in the NL Central, 8-2. If the bullpen would do its job, I think we might be undefeated. Look, it's nuts when I look at the ERA that the pitchers had, and number one in baseball. I sent you the stat yesterday. After seven shutout innings by the starter last night, 1.95. That's gotta be pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's not Garrett Cole good, but it's pretty good. and if they can keep that up, I mean, you know, I thought the Cubs had a good chance, and I was concerned about their manager, you know, being a rookie manager, a guy that was a player with basically the same group of guys just a couple of years
ago. But you know what? I had this conversation with Tim Fanguy earlier today. I think having played and won in the World Series and guys knowing him, I think it might have been easier for him to make the decision he did already with the closer. I mean, Kimbrel's terrible right now, and he kind of moved to another guy.
Right, and that's what you have to do, especially, you know, you and I talked about it before the season started. As a manager, you're going to have to be more quick-triggered this year than ever before. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only, you can't run it out. It's not a marathon. It's not, you know, you don't have time to weave through, you know, bad patches to get your guy back on track in the long run. You just need to pull the trigger. And he did. And it's looking pretty good right now. I do think a lot of it has to do with who they played. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you're off to a great start. And the way things are with that division, I mean, that's what's important. I mean, what are we, 10 games in for the Cubs? It's only a 60-game schedule.
That's it. So that's and they let eight in. So there we go. That's good. They let eight in. At Mr. Tim Grubbs, a way to follow on Twitter every Tuesday. We talk with Mr. Timmy Grubbs. Thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week.
I certainly will. Thanks, guys. Have
Sounds good. Leo Haggerty will join us next. Oh, Tampa Bay. Things are just, everything's great in Tampa Bay, isn't it? Tampa Bay. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Indeed knows you've got big goals for your business, and we understand hiring is a crucial part of that. You need to hire people who will make a real impact. Indeed can help you find those important hires faster while paying only for what you need without any long-term contracts, thanks to our super flexible payment options. Start finding your important hire today with a free $75 credit for your first job post and get in front of more quality candidates. Go to Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Golic and Wingo.
You guys are saying 2 wins in 4 years makes you a dynasty? Boy, you guys are watering down the dynasty. Look up the definition of dynasty. I don't even know what the actual definition is, but I bet it says something about
Googling
the best.
Now.
So okay, if, and if you're not
if,
the best.
If you win 2 in 4 years,
yeah,
and Patrick Mahomes rattles off a few MVPs in there, because I think that's the other part of this that we're not giving enough credit to when you talk about these dynasties, is you've got identifiable greats. You've got the names that can go right along with it. Right now, while Andy Reid is going to get a bunch of credit, Patrick Mahomes seems to be elevated in a place all his own.
I'm with you there, but I am not going. And as much as I love Andy Reid and would love for him to be part of a dynasty, there's more work to be done there, and I will not go with 2 in 4 years.
Dynasty is defined as a noun, a line of hereditary rulers of a country.
Okay, you know, all hail Mahomes!
Golic and Wingo, weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
It took us 3 generations to do it.
But we built New Orleans.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
No, you gotta say it like Tony the Tiger.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for confidential support.
Life after military service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, feeling lost and uncertain about the future. These feelings don't take away from a veteran's strength, courage, or sense of duty. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Developing situation, of course, as the Mavericks making their way back into this game. 4:30 to play, second quarter. It is 50-43. Sacramento playing like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's one developing situation. The other, Jordan, that you are following closely is...
The Cake Bandit.
Cake Bandit. What in the world are you talking about?
I don't know. Accordingly, Derek Favors, when he was celebrating his 29th birthday the other week, he was told that there was going to be a birthday cake for
birthday
him after
cake.
Practice.
Yes.
He was notified of that.
Okay.
But once he got to his room,
mm-hmm.
the cake was not there. Someone from outside the team had swiped Favors' birthday cake.
Wow, so there's a cake bandit.
There's a cake bandit.
A cake thief in the bubble.
When members of the team went to retrieve the cupcakes, there was only one left also.
Wow.
So not only
a cake and
a cupcake. Someone is roaming the bubble stealing baked goods from the Pelicans.
Wow, the baked good bandits. Leo Haggerty, it's Sports Magazine over there in Tampa. You wouldn't be, Tampa's, what, 45, 50 minutes on I-4 from the bubble where they're at? I mean, you haven't been enjoying any baked goods, have you?
Well, I've lost 30 pounds, Gus, since we last talked when you were hiding under a grill when that thunderstorm hit New Orleans. But, I haven't had any cupcakes. Sorry.
Okay, just making sure. Basically...
Might be Kevin Durant.
Well, I'm just saying, because basically between every Twitter or tweet deck refresh, everything is just wonderful in Tampa Bay, isn't it? How wonderful is it? There's footage of Tom Brady throwing routes at high school. But today, we got official footage of Tom Brady throwing at the facility, Leo. What a nice thing.
Well, you know what, Gus? I'll tell you what. This is scary. It's like VE Day or VJ Day when Brady's here. And the problem is I'm a glass half full Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it half empty. I don't look at it half full. And, you know, Cam Jordan is just getting crucified over here.
Really?
All the insane comments they say. I don't get it. I don't think he said anything that's wrong. Are the Bucks the number two team? Yeah, maybe. I think Atlanta's going to have something to say about that. Does Tom Brady mean you're going to win six more games? I doubt it. Brady's going to find out real quick that this isn't the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills you play twice a year. Mm. It's the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers. And these guys are pretty good. And the guys in New Orleans are really good.
In case you're wondering what Leo's talking about and joining us late, Cam Jordan in an interview just basically said that that Tampa Bay has the second best quarterback in the division behind Drew Brees, and this is a team, quote, that's battling for second place. Look, here's the thing. You haven't contended for the division title, so I don't know why you would be upset, and if you are upset by that, then I guess you need things to motivate you. And I don't know, man. But I understand this, Leo. When you haven't had success and you haven't perhaps met potential, because you and I have talked about potential, right? I mean, this team is chock full of talented players on defense and offense. They just hadn't put it together. So I guess when you don't fulfill potential, you tend to get that chip on your shoulder and out there to try to prove yourself. And, you know, here's this guy that makes you feel more confident, right? I mean, I'm looking at Twitter today and Shady McCoy out there saying, how long can the GOAT play? Can we keep him longer than a year or so?
Yeah, and you know what, Gus? We had the greatest scapegoat in the history of the world down here in Jameis Winston. Jameis was the problem. Everything went to Jameis. He was the problem. Get rid of Jameis. We got rid of Jameis and brought in Tom Brady. The problem is we're not bringing in Tom Brady at 25. We're bringing in Tom Brady at 43. And, Gus, you and I know when quarterbacks go south, they go south in a hurry. And I'm just concerned that the expectations, again, are a little far-fetched. There's people over here in the media talking 12 and 13 wins. I'm going, boy, I'll tell you, whatever you're smoking, I want some of that. Because that's just – you know what, Gus? I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of double-digit win teams. Now, I'm going to give the Saints real credit here. They did the smartest thing in the world. They rent out four floors of a hotel room. Hmm. 25 of the 32 teams have players on the COVID list. It's not going away. I can't believe that the other 31 franchises didn't go right away, hey, let's find a hotel.
Yeah.
Let's get these guys out of here. What a great move by the Saints.
Leo, it's interesting. I have a friend of my wife's whose husband is a general manager of a very popular hotel down here. And, from, you know, obviously pay cuts and layoffs and stuff for staff. And look, they have a very famous bar as part of their hotel, but it's empty. They don't have it. So yeah, I'm with you. I can't imagine New Orleans is unique on the amount of space available for certain hotels. It makes sense. Now look, Gale Benson has to cut the check, but it probably is helping your team at least in the initial few weeks of the importance of you start having an outbreak that could really derail, if not bring your training camp to a halt. And when you're trying to quote unquote get in shape, you know, I'm making fun of the video today, but I mean, this is key. They're literally trying to wrap up OTA and minicamp in one and then finally practice here in 2 weeks, like with real football practice. So I think it makes so much sense. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, you could probably work a partnership that way. We'll give you a banner, Leo, on one of the sections of the seats, you know, with your hotel logo if you let us stay there. You got plenty of hotels right there next to the Tampa Stadium.
Right. And you know what, Gus? I can't believe that the other teams are not jumping at this. They should go, hey, I don't care if New Orleans gets credit. It's the smartest thing in the world. Because if you look what's happening, the bubble idea is working for the NBA. Now, Lou Williams wanted some hot wings. Okay, we got to deal with that. But hockey has gone like 7,000 tests with nobody positive. But again, what's there to do in Toronto and Calgary in the middle of summer? Not a whole lot. But baseball and football can't do that. Can football honestly go to four cities and have eight teams there? No, that mm-hmm. won't work. Baseball's the same way. You're going to have to travel. The good news about football is you're going to be gone maybe 16 days out of the entire year. You're going to fly in the day before you're going to play. You're going to fly out. So you're only dealing with one night in a hotel. So, and that's not the problem. The problem is, Gus, young people think they're invincible, and I get it. The veteran leadership on a team is really the key point now. The Drew Breeses, the Malcolm Fletcher, you know, these guys that have been down that road that can say, hey, look at this ring. This is what we got to do to get there. They got to convince these guys to stay out of the bars, to stay out of the strip clubs, to stay out of the casinos, because they think they're invincible. I'm not going to get it, and if I get it, it's just the flu. Well, guess what? You bring it home, it ain't the flu.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you say that. I played a soundbite from over the weekend. Craig Robertson said that very thing on talking to the younger players to understanding what you're doing. And I think his approach and what he said, Leo, was very smart. Because I think, like you're saying, when you try to talk to young people that you can get it, it goes in one ear out the other because they understand that maybe I'm not that healthy and at risk. What he said, though, was, remember, this is just like an injury. If you get injured, it's next man up. And what if that next man up plays well, then you just lost your spot. And if it's an instance like this where you purposely didn't take care of yourself. Now, as he said, you can get in the mail. But if it comes out, it's because of, like you're saying, in Tampa's got some, you know, some places for hot wings, if you know what I'm saying. And if you go get it that way, you're not going to get sympathy from the team. You know, and the next man comes up and you're going to be left behind. And I thought for him to say that really kind of peeked the curtain a bit to the leadership that's inside that Saints locker room right now.
You know what? And Gus, if I was speaking to young people, young players, I would use the same analogy, but I would say, hey, remember, Wally Pipp had a headache and Lou Gehrig didn't come out for 2,300 plus games.
Mm-hmm.
You get a headache, you get COVID, you may be looking. Tom Brady got to be the perfect example here. Hey, if Drew Brees doesn't get hit and collapse a lung, we don't know who Tom Brady is because they weren't replacing Drew Bledsoe. So, again, that's something that you've got to get across to these young people. And, you know, Gus, it's hard. We fight wars with young people because you go, hey, charge up that hill and get that done. Right. Okay, I got it. Well, you know, Gus, you and I are going to say, wait a second, let's think about this. Let's come up with plan B. You know, that's the way it is. They think they just, you know, it's not going to happen to me. But you know what? If it happened, and the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, we're hearing he darn near died from this. And, you know, here's a baseball player in the prime of his career, in the prime of life, and it's trouble. And Matthew Stafford's got it, and he's got a brand-new baby at home. You really got to be smart. You really got to be safe. And, you know, Gus, I got a feeling that when we travel up there to play the Saints on that first weekend, there may not be a whole lot of people in the dome.
Yeah, we haven't officially gotten word, Leo. We know the Falcons are like 10 to 20 with Cam Jordan, our comedian over here, apparently. He said, well, that's a regular Atlanta Falcon home game. So we'll see how it goes and what they're doing. As Tampa announced what they're planning on doing, I know the Raiders this week yesterday saying no fans.
No, and you know what, Gus? Here's the problem. The NFL is notoriously noted for being competitive balanced. The Jets and the Giants, the governor of New Jersey said, you're just not going to have fans till I tell you you can't. The Raiders said, no, we're not going to do it. Isn't it a competitive advantage if you're going to have fans? I can't believe it. Here's the problem. Roger Goodell can't go to the owners and say, well, you got to shut down.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones, you're not going to put plans in Jerry World? I mean, oh, man, that would be a fist fight in the owner's room. So, again, it's going to be a problem, but how they're going to do this, Tampa has talked about basically just opening up one section. But, again, we've become the epicenter of this thing. We're having like 1,200 people die every day down here. It's just not pretty. So we're just going to have to sit back and wait and relax. And I would not be surprised, Gus, if the league makes a decision on that, just to keep everybody on an even playing field.
Leo Haggerty, as always, man, appreciate the conversation. And, man, you know, when I get over to Tampa, man, show me some of the best hot wings places.
Oh, I'll take it. Hey, I got some good places for hot wings, but pay me to get that poor boy. I told George.
Well, the poor boys here aren't like getting hot wings over there, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you'll enjoy the dessert.
I hear you, my friend. Thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure, man. Look forward to speaking to you as now we're underway, quote unquote, training camp 2020. Thank you, Leo.
Take care, brother. Stay safe over there, will you?
Yeah, you too, man. Appreciate it. Jordan the intern. When we come back, we are at halftime. We'll give you the updated score. Dallas-Sacramento have battled a half of basketball. Remember, we are rooting for Dallas. Tonight, it's Rockets and Blazers. 8 o'clock on TNT. Go ahead and put it on your TV and check it out and root for Houston. Tomorrow, it's Memphis and the Jazz at 1:30. Nuggets and Spurs at 3. We want Utah and Denver to win. The Pels could be closer to 8 by the time they tip off Thursday at 12:30 against the Kings. If the teams that we want to win, win. Go out there and get your juju, get whatever, you know, good talisman you have. I need some good vibes. Final segment up next on ESPN New Orleans. I got a Jones in my bones
with four windows. It's the summer clearance event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Get a great deal on a Ram today and check out their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business. With Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans, choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
After falling to the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1982 NBA Finals, the 76ers needed to find the right player to build the ultimate winning team. In September of 82, they acquired restricted free agent Moses Malone. They went on to rack up a 65-17 regular season record and follow that up with a 12-1 postseason record. Malone won the regular season and NBA Finals MVP award.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Dreaming of buying your first home? What's the first step in getting a home loan? What type of assistance is available? At the Louisiana Housing Corporation, we have answers. Our mission is to help you make the most of your investment with down payment assistance, low interest rates, and tax credits. Attend one of our homebuyer education classes to learn about affordable solutions for Louisiana homebuyers. Let us help you make your dream of homeownership a reality. Contact Louisiana Housing Corporation today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hi, Jordan. Halftime in Orlando, Sacramento 60, Dallas 56. Within earshot, according to the graph, who's been watching every second of this game. Sacramento started out playing basically like the Golden State Warriors, hot from downtown. And Dallas took a little bit to get going. Luka, 18 already in the first half. Doncic, Hardaway Jr., has 11, Porzingis 14, as the Mavs are shooting only, Jordan, 37.5%. So Look, here's the one thing if you're a Pels fan right now. Again, you want Dallas to win. Sacramento's 0-2 in the bubble already. Dallas 4-16, Jordan, from downtown Beyond the Arc. That's only 25%. So if I'm watching this right now, I'm going, Dallas is going to improve. They're going to shoot a little bit better in 37%. And they're likely going to shoot a few more threes that tend to go in. Now, here's the other stat that's standing out to me. They've already gone into free throw line 27 times. 22 of 27. 81% free throws. I mean, I see that stat. That's what's kept them in the game. Right? 22 free points. You're down 4. So if the shooting improves, that should help you out here a bit. Now, as far as Sacramento goes, Bazemore has 11 off the bench. They got pretty much everybody off the bench helping out here. Buddy Hield has 9. You remember him. De'Aaron Fox, 18 points. The rest of the starters, though, Jordan, none of them are in double digits. Barnes, 3. Holmes, 2. Joseph, 6. Bogdanovich has 0. So, I don't know. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, 7 of 10 in his 17 minutes. They're 9 of 24 from 3. They're shooting 50%. So the law of odds and averages here, Jordan. Sacramento's not going to shoot as well in the second half. Dallas should shoot better. I'm going to go with a 5-point Mavs win.
5 points.
That's what I just did.
And I think it's going to be more like a 10 to 15-point win by the Mavs.
Really? You think? I'll settle for a 1-point Mavs win.
I think Pelicans fans will settle for any win.
Okay. And tonight, Rockets and Blazers, my friend. Big game. Big game tonight. Like, what are you doing at 8 o'clock tonight? You need to be paying attention.
I'm probably going to go home, work out, and then eat some supper.
Okay. And that all should be before 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, it should all be before 8 o'clock because it's huge. It's huge here. You would really like Portland to lose, right? And I'll say this, and even Todd and I were kind of talking back and forth via text earlier. I'll ask you this, and this is why I shouldn't ask you because you've been at the beach and hanging out, but you saw some games at night, huh?
Yeah, I watched a lot of games.
Would you say, for the most part, are you surprised, or would you say this is what you expected? Remember, I was on the expected side in terms of teams playing players. Remember one of the storylines heading into Thursday's restart opener?
Who's sitting out?
Was, well, you know, who knows if they really will play. I mean, I watched the Lakers game last night. I mean, AD and LeBron are playing. Well, this is why I said, you've been off for 4 months. Like, that is a massive risk to just sit your starters or sit your superstars and expect in a week and a half to ramp it back up for the playoffs. Now, maybe you play the first 4, you know what, out. And then maybe you'll, like you said, the Lakers clinched the number. Maybe now that they clinched the top seed, I don't know if that would change anything, but I would expect maybe one more. Like, I think for the 8 games, you're going to see teams play all their guys. And especially if there's no seeding involved. Like, you're probably going to see Kawhi and LeBron probably start take some rests games 6, 7, and 8 for sure. That would make sense. Some rest. In other words, you're not going to play probably 30 plus, maybe 22, 20 minutes, something like that, right? Kind of get your work in, get your conditioning in, ready to go, because they don't really have that much to play for. Seeding on some other sides, I think that could. Depends on the matchup you want, right? Depends on the matchup you want. Who is it that you want to face? But, you know, when you look at the Pels' remaining schedule here, Kings and Wizards this week, got the Spurs on Sunday, Kings again next Tuesday. You got the Magic. So it doesn't really affect. They're going to face everybody. And look, the Spurs were on their way to a win before Milton hit that 3 yesterday, you know? I mean, so I don't know. I'm just looking. Lakers, I think you might see one more game with AD and LeBron playing decent amount of minutes and then kind of tapering down, right? Maybe take game 6 and 7 kind of very light and maybe play a little bit more in game 8. Because you want to keep your wind. You want to keep your wind. But I think matchups matter, man. I think matchups matter. Right now, it's Clippers matter.